gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
Welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got the author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan, and One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, Oliver Newman. How are you doing this evening? This afternoon, even, Oliver?
I think you've had about as much sleep as I have, Chris, in all honesty.
I've got a two-year-old who's decided, tough too, is when he's going to wake up and ask to put the telly on every night.
Yeah. No. I got back from PWL in Willenhall last night after meeting Paul London, so there was no way I was sleeping. So I switched to NXT TakeOver on as well, and a fantastic show.
Oh, amazing. So, before we get into the review, I just want to send our congratulations out to Sugar Dungerton, who's, since our last show, has made his Impact Wrestling debut against KM on Explosion. So congratulations to him. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so hopefully you'll get onto the main show soon. So,
it's open.
Yeah, so one piece of news before we get into review as well. Triple H has announced the UK Championship tournaments will take place over two nights in the summer, June 18th and 19th, from the Royal Albert Hall in London. Here's some of the names you'd like to see in the tournament.
Oh, am I going to be able to remember... I don't know, 16 British wrestling names.
Oh, you don't need to name 16, just a couple of you.
No, I was trying to say I'm like 4 hours sleep.
Yeah.
I got no chance. Okay. Friend of the show, Dean Allmark. I'd love to see him in this.
I think him versus Jody Fleisch in a first round match would be amazing.
Absolutely. And it would be the best way to go, in all honesty. These two gentlemen, especially Jody, revolutionised British wrestling 2000s, and obviously Dean, he's a British wrestling veteran on his own right, isn't he?
Mm.
Those two definitely. Zach Gibson's got to be a part of it.
Yeah, he's recently signed, hasn't he? So.
Yeah, that's what's been speculated on. So he was the star of Five Star Wrestling, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was around. Thing worth watching.
So him. I've been out of the UK scene for the longest time. I probably need to get myself back on it, in all honesty, because UK wrestlers' voice. I ain't really sure.
I know he's not British, but I'd love to see him, the Kiwi Buzzsaw, Travis Banks.
Oh, giving a go. Absolutely, yeah. That's one that definitely stands out. I would have loved to have seen Zack Sabre Jr. in it, but he signed a full-time contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering about that, because they did let him do the Cruiserweight.
Yeah, I think he was freelance at the time.
Oh, right, okay.
I think he was wrestling with Noah, maybe.
Hmm.
I don't know if he's New Japan. I don't know if he started with New Japan until after that. I might be wrong. To the fans listening in, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Jimmy Havoc would be good to see in it.
Yeah.
I know the style, but I've seen him wrestle technically, so he could definitely be in this tournament. Trying to think from a local scene perspective.
You're really high on him, so Jesse Jones.
Yeah, pro wrestling subjective champion Jesse Jones would be a great choice, in all honesty. Just for the experience, you know what I mean. He's not been in the mix as far as I'm aware. To be in the tournament and to have a match at least would be a real feather in the cap for the guy, really. And, you know, he's a tremendous, tremendous in-ring talent who's young. So, yeah, I think he would do really well. Who do you think should be in the tournament?
I was thinking for a couple of shows I've been to. I like Matthew Brooks, the Opera Mania. I think that's his gimmick. He's amazing in the ring. Terry Izzett's good heel. He'll be good in it. Nice and young. Drew Parker. A bit more of a hardcore wrestler, but I've seen a couple of matches on YouTube, and he is really good in the ring as well. I was trying to think of like a Brian Kendrick type return, and the only one I could really come up with was former NXT Tag Team Champion Oliver Gray could come back.
Yeah, I've got one. Doug Williams.
Doug Williams, yeah.
Yeah, it's happening in London. You know, and Johnny Storm. Do you know what I mean? You might as well put the three guys that revolutionised British wrestling in the early 2000s in the tournament, mind you.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Do you know what I mean? You know, that probably should have happened in the first one, in all honesty, if you wanted to get eyes on the product. Obviously, the tournament was fantastic. But, those guys should definitely be in the mix. And, you know, it's not like they're in the prime of their careers, aren't they? I mean, Jody Fleisch looks like an absolute beast.
Yeah.
And still wrestles his style, which is fantastic. Johnny Storm, I haven't seen wrestle for a short while. And obviously, Doug Williams is a tremendous technical wrestler and, you know, and he's in the prime of his career as well. So, yeah, those three, definitely. The Kiwi Buzz saw Travis Banks. He's based in the UK, isn't he? So,
yeah
he's got to be on the radar, in all honesty. And if they're to make an exception in terms of, obviously, it's a UK tournament, but then you've got Roderick Strong and you know, so on and so forth, contesting for the UK title. So you can make exceptions, can't you?
Yeah. I also like Gabriel Kidd. I like him live. And I like Amir Jordan. He's really good. So, yeah, two good young guys you can throw in.
Yo, everybody in the UK, it's your boy, Shook D. I'm coming at you live in living color, surround sound, letting you know that there hasn't been this much mayhem since the Boston Tea Party. And I'm just letting you know that you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Anyway, we'll get on with the review. So, before we get into the open match, what are your thoughts on NXT having a second men's title?
Like I said on Positive in Pro Wrestling, episode 9, cheap plug, I wasn't sure about it, to be honest. It's difficult with a 1 hour show. It's a second men's title. I thought that this match would be outstanding, but I wasn't sure about the title. I was kind of on the fence going into this match. What did you think about it?
I don't like the name. I don't like the North American Championship. I've always liked the idea of the network title, so if you could.
Oh, okay, like a TV championship kind of thing.
Yeah, but it can be defended on any of the network shows. So.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't like the design of it. It looks like completely different to the rest of the belts. If you said,
is that not a good thing though? Makes it stand out.
But if anything, the rest of them should look the same. Then the main title should look completely different. Whereas the second title,
yeah,
I'm sure it'll grow on me. But I don't like the North American Championship. It's just so lazy. It's a lazy name.
So. You would have called it Network Champion. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Well, any other network? Other name?
something
young and exciting point. Rather than North American Championship.
Yeah, are you happy with a second men's title though?
I think the amount of wrestlers they brought in now, they're gonna need something to fight over.
They've got
such a huge main event now. Because any of these guys in this ladder match would probably all consider almost upper mid card main events as now. So.
Definitely.
Shall we get on to the... Right, so,
that's what the people are waiting for, Chris.
There was a ladder match for the NXT North American Championships. Adam Cole versus EC3 versus Killian Dane versus Lars Sullivan versus Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. I think Perfectly described this match as the NXT's version of Infinity Wars. So what were your thoughts on this match? So.
Oh man, this is like NXT War Games, wasn't it really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable match. I was watching it and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Ricochet, my gosh, that man is incredible.
It was just like a Ricochet highlight reel. You kind of knew he wasn't going to win, so he just did his best of type of thing.
So I don't know. I thought he might win, in all honesty. I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I thought he might win that match, if I'm completely honest. I was probably pulling for him as much as anyone else. The shooting star press, the outside.
Oh, was that when Lars Sullivan was picking up the ladder? Before that, when he landed on Killian Dane.
No, that was before that. And then when he was on the ladder and he does the Isai moonsault, just incredible. I haven't seen a lot of Ricochet. I've heard a lot of buzz, but he blew me away. Amazing. And then, but that's not to take away from anyone else. EC3 was. Oh,
he took a lot of punishments in this match. I can't remember too much of his offense, but that. And Killian Dane had Adam Cole on his back, and the Vader slam, whatever it's called, Vader bomb.
Off the second bomb.
Ow!
And it was like he was roadkill, wasn't it, underneath the ladder? And I don't mean the Amish chicken plucker.
What did Percy Watson say? Did he say he's down to 1% now or something?
He might be down to 1% now, but the big guys. You know, structured the match, Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job of keeping them separated for a lot. They didn't kill each other straight away. Like in a main card, the big guys kind of take each other out straight away and then lie about outside for ages. But they kind of, over the whole match, they destroyed each other rather than they had one big spot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's money in that feud, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
Killian Dane against Lars Sullivan, that could go on forever. You know, in terms of two big men, you could put it under any stipulation, it'd be fantastic to watch. Yeah. Velveteen Dream's elbow drop off the top of the ladder was beautiful. Unbelievable. And then, you know, Adam Cole, I've obviously heard the buzz about him as well, not really seen that much of him, in all honesty. And then, like, the super kick party really impressed me. I don't like the use of a move over and over, but it really made sense in that moment.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, in all honesty. And, just an unbelievably great match. One of the best matches in NXT TakeOver history.
Yeah.
And we kind of say that every show, don't we, in all honesty?
Yeah, so the War Games match was my favourite match of all last year, but I think this topped it. So
yeah.
It's one of the matches you need to see to truly appreciate what an absolute outstanding... Brutal's the word I'm looking for.
The only ladder match I can kind of compare to it, and this might sound biased and stuff, but... Paul London and Brian Kendrick, Eminem.
Yeah.
Regal and Taylor, and was it the Hardys in 2004 Armageddon?
I can't remember. I wasn't watching that back then.
There's one more team. I think it's the Hardys. I'm not sure who the fourth team is, but you know, 4 hours sleep and all. But obviously, Joey Mercury smashed up his face.
Oh yeah, I remember that match. Oh yeah, can't remember who the fourth team is. Oh, I think it was Jeff Hardy did that on the ladder, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, this is one of the greatest ladder matches of all time. Just amazing. I don't know if you want to spoil winners and stuff like that for the listeners, but...
We are spoiling it. It's a review. We always spoil it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say to pause the podcast and go and watch the match for themselves, really. And then come back, obviously. just outstanding. We really can't throw too many superlatives at this match. It was just out of this world.
And then Adam Cole winning. Do you think he's a deserved title holder?
Yeah, I think he is. I like his character. You know, he...
Oh, there was a spot I really loved. It was when Adam Cole and EC3, we teamed up, and he went, "EC3, baby!" And then he got super kicked.
Yeah, he didn't like that, did he? No, I like the character. I like the fact that he can get the fans behind him with the Adam Cole, baby, or he can, you know, turn it around and get the fans to boo him by not saying it and stuff. You know, he's obviously a quality wrestler. Fantastic character, and I wanted it to be Ricochet, I'm not going to lie. I just imagine the matches he could have had as the champion, but Adam Cole's definitely a good choice.
Yeah, I wanted it to be with an established NXT wrestler rather than one of the new two guys.
So. That's a fair point. So you were pulling for either Velveteen Dream or Adam Cole then, weren't you?
I don't really like big guys holding secondary titles. I don't know what it is. I like the smaller guys to have the secondary title. But yeah, it was definitely Velveteen Dream. I was supporting Adam Cole the whole way through. So.
Oh well, you got your wish then, didn't you?
Yeah. All right, so we move on to
just an amazing match, though.
The women's title match. So Ember Moon, champion, going in against Shayna Baszler. I think I was a little bit sick of my mouth when Baszler was trying to pop her shoulder back in on the ring post. But
yeah, that was pretty surreal, wasn't it, in all honesty? I said on Twitter, you know, I don't know how anyone's going to follow that match, the ladder match. But I thought the ladies did a great job, in all honesty. Another good match in the women's wrestling revolution. I thought, you know, they had the crowd for the whole thing. The Eclipse to the outside was incredible.
Oh, that's incredible, yeah.
And obviously, Shayna Baszler showed that incredible toughness and resilience by having a shoulder knocked out of place and smacking it into the ring post to put it back into place.
I dislocated my shoulder and cracked my collarbone playing rugby, so I know how much... ended my rugby career.
Paul London was at that show last night, and he has dislocated his shoulder, broken his clavicle, and torn ligaments in his left shoulder.
That's exactly what I did, but it was my right shoulder, just before my GCSEs.
So and he couldn't wrestle last night, he only had a segment on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what the injury is. And so, incredible toughness from Shayna Baszler, but coming from an MMA background, she's badass, isn't she, really? Yeah.
I thought the ending sequence was a great callback to their first match, because she got her in the hold, and then Ember Moon tried to roll her like she did last time, but she just carried on rolling. And when Ember was trying to get it, she kind of re-injured the shoulder, so Shayna held onto her own hair to keep the hold on. I was like, oh, I've never seen that before.
So I know. The reversals and counter reversals and stuff reminded me of Asuka against Bayley.
Yeah.
You know, Bayley had the Bayley to belly suplex on, and Asuka rolled through into the Asuka lock. And obviously with Shayna Baszler holding onto her own hair because she dislocated her shoulder is just unbelievable, really. And it just in terms of, you know, mental toughness and strength, this is a, you know, Finn Balor against Seth Rollins from 2016.
Yeah.
Wow. He was in a similar position, wasn't he? So it just goes to show the lengths that these men and women go to entertain us, and why we should respect them.
And you're happy with Baszler winning?
Yeah, happy with Baszler winning. She's been one of my favourites to watch. I like the character. I think she's, you know, for somebody who's like in infancy in the, you know, professional wrestling career, she's doing really well. And I guess it was kind of the only result, really, because if you have Ember Moon winning again, then Baszler can't really come after another title shot, can she?
No.
unless she goes out to injure Ember Moon and puts her out for a while, and then, you know, say the title gets vacated or something, then she's got an opportunity at the title. But if she doesn't win last night, then title options are limited, aren't they? So, yeah, I think it was the right call. What do you think?
Yeah, it was definitely the right call. I was going to ask, at the end of the match, she went over and hugged Ronda Rousey. Do you think this is echoing the future that Ronda Rousey is going to be a heel and have a similar character for Shayna Baszler?
I think it's strange that, you know, a villain goes up to a hero and, yeah, you know, has a hug and stuff.
There's the rumour going around that after Brock Lesnar leaves, after Mania, Heyman's got to go on to manage, or be the advocate of Ronda Rousey and basically do the whole Brock Lesnar thing with her.
Well, it would be a great idea, wouldn't it, really? You know, she's a really big fan of professional wrestling, you can tell that.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to see. She seems like I've said on previous podcast shows, she seems like such a lovely person, and she's got so much time for the fans and stuff. I'm not sure, character-wise, like I said, we don't have... I don't have the opportunity to see Raw and SmackDown like Nick does, who's obviously the luckiest man alive being in New Orleans right now. Can't make time for this podcast, but, you know.
He's probably still asleep. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning there, is it?
You know. Eli Drake had to do an 8 o'clock workout on the Impact, you know, Twitch channel.
He didn't seem that happy about that.
Yeah, he wasn't happy about that at all, was he? But I digress. I think that would be a great route for Ronda Rousey to go down, really. And then imagine if Baszler comes up and they're a tag team, yeah, and they have women's tag titles. You're not going to beat Rousey and Baszler, are you? And then if, you know, obviously it's been long speculated about the Four Horsewomen against, you know, the Four Horsewomen of NXT. So, you know, that could be a future thing as well. And if Ronda Rousey goes with Paul Heyman, that could definitely be on the cards.
Yeah.
Because obviously, yeah, current character, it isn't going to work. You're going to have a hero group against a villain, you know, heroine group against a villainess group, aren't you? So that's how that will work in the future. I would be, I'd be ecstatic if she went with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure how they can do it in this moment, really. You know, that's the way I look at it. But yeah, if she was the first Paul Heyman girl, obviously, I think Paige said she was originally, but there was no follow-up with that.
No.
So if Rousey is very, you know, very similar style to Brock Lesnar, I would imagine, from a judo background, from MMA, and, you know, from a wrestling background, obviously we'll see a lot more tonight. It could really work, and it could be one of the best moves of a professional wrestling career.
Yeah, the next up was probably the match I was least looking forward to going into. It was the NXT Tag Team Championship and the Dusty Road Classic Trophy Final, whatever it was called. So it was a battered Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne in a triple threat match. Took a while to establish the rules. I wasn't quite sure. I was like, is this every man? Is it a tornado tag? Is it three man in the ring? I was like, took a while to settle down into what the match was meant to be. But
I think it's a testament to the show, the card, and the build up that the one you were least looking forward to had six of the best wrestlers on the roster in it.
I was going to say, it's probably my least going into it. It was probably my least, but it was my favourite finish.
Oh, yeah, the finish is fantastic. And if you look at all the nuances leading up to the match,
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah, in a way.
Although it seems like it's out of nowhere, if you look at all the interviews and everything that Roderick Strong has on NXT TV, the ending makes sense.
Yeah, on NXT, in about 3 weeks, they'll have a video package stitched together, which make it all make sense. So.
But what I mean is, he said he comes to NXT to be a champion.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bobby Fish gets taken out by an injury. So by him turning on Pete Dunne, and joining with the Undisputed Era, he's a champion by default, isn't he?
Yeah, even though he would have been a champion, because anyway.
It's something that's been speculated about for the longest time, yeah. About a so-called Ring of Honor stable in WWE. You've definitely got one in NXT, haven't you?
Yeah, and there's rumours that Donovan Dijak is going to join eventually. That's a rumour.
Yeah, that's a rumour as well.
Leo Rush is not really doing much at the moment. So.
They were talking about Leo Rush as well, yeah. So, I think in this match, this was the first match where it wasn't about the match. It was about the story.
Yeah.
More so than the match. And the story was executed perfectly.
Yeah, I've also heard a rumour that they could do a cross-brand, so they've got Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn could be like the SmackDown version of this.
Well, they could have like a Nexus, couldn't they?
Yeah, but it's across all brands.
Minus the ending to that group.
Yeah. And you've got Samoa Joe on Raw, could be the Ring of Honor version. Well, so.
It's a great idea. Imagine if you could have that kind of stable across... all brands, if you could have somebody on Raw, on SmackDown.
It's got Cedric Alexander on as well.
205 Live, yeah.
You could throw Leo Rush on there as well.
So
many ex-Ring of Honor legends at the moment. So.
Exactly. You know, just further proof there, Chris, that me, yourself and Nick come up with some great ideas and we should be booking WWE.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I love the storyline going into the show that was going to be all bleak for Adam Cole. Left the show with two titles and a trophy, basically.
So. That's because he's Adam Cole, baby. Sorry, that just never gets old. Yeah. It's really cool.
All right, next up was...
Like I said, I wasn't sure about him in the beginning when he debuted. I love the Undisputed Era, and obviously he debuted at Brooklyn, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then the different nuances with the characters and stuff, with his character, sorry, and his in-ring wrestling ability has really, really grown on me, really. So, yeah, for him to come out sneaking a couple of wins, getting in the head of Roderick Strong, for example, everything just fits his character down to a T, doesn't it?
Yeah, and having this group behind him distracts from how small he is. Compared to other, it looks tiny compared to some of them. It looked tiny compared to Ricochet. Ricochet isn't a huge man.
It's one of those things though where it should be talent. Shouldn't be about the size of a wrestler. In all honesty, he looks like a wrestler.
Yeah.
He acts like a wrestler. He acts like a world champion. So I'm not about a wrestler being 300 pounds to be a wrestler. If he looks like a wrestler, and he is a wrestler, and he carries himself like a champion, then I don't mind if he's, 5'5" or 180 pounds. You know what I mean? That doesn't matter to me, really. He's fantastic.
The next up was the NXT Championship match. Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega versus my favourite wrestler. I'm so happy. Alistair Black, so I'm so happy. Regular listeners of the show will know that Black is my favourite wrestler in all of WWE at the moment. So, what were your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, this was another fantastic match, wasn't it, really?
I think there's at least three 4-star matches, maybe 4.5-star matches, I don't know.
They've got to be 4-star plus on the Dave Meltzer scale, haven't they, really?
Yeah.
I'm more about did I enjoy the match in terms of, instead of star ratings, but, if that's what people want to go by, then that's fair enough. Another fantastic story told.
Oh, you
know what I mean? Can he overcome Almas and Zelina Vega?
I was laughing, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, can he? And obviously, Zelina Vega was constantly in the match, and you're just thinking to yourself, there can't be any violence between the two. So I'm not sure how he's going to deal with it.
The Spike Hurricanrana, look how.
I know. It looked, he looked like he literally got spiked, didn't he? But yeah, just fantastic. Like I said, you've got Andrade Cien Almas, and you know, I wrote about him in 2016 in my WWE book.
Yeah.
And I saw the potential. I'd heard the buzz about him as well, and I'd seen the potential, and I was like, he's floundering as a hero. What can they do to make him the star? They stuck Zelina Vega with him. They turned him into a villain, and he has been the best thing on NXT.
Yeah, because since
that change, it's
this
just
time
been
last year,
incredible.
This time last year they faced each other, wasn't it? The opening show match on the card, wasn't it?
Was that, that's Aleister Black's debut then, isn't it?
Yeah. This time last year.
I wasn't aware of that, actually, off the top of my head.
His debut was against him. It was when he was being the drunken party, Almas.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a good memory you have there, Chris. Fantastic match. It really was.
Amazing.
Great story told. Brilliant in-ring action. Could have gone either way, because I was thinking, I don't want Almas's title reign to end because he's been that good. Mm. But, much like yourself, big Aleister Black fan, and this was, if he's going to have a moment, it has to be now. But, to add to that, I wasn't sure how he's going to overcome Zelina Vega.
Yeah, I actually loved the ending where Vega tried to interfere for like the 10th time with a crossbody. Black dodged, connected. Andrade caught her, and then he.
Yeah, Andrade caught her, and then he hit him with the black mass.
Amazing.
But one of the best things about that, and this is where we should give a lot of credit to Zelina Vega, she didn't get caught once.
No.
She interfered, and she never got caught once. And as the late, great Eddie Guerrero has taught us, you know, if you don't get caught, it didn't happen, did it?
You're not cheating if you don't get caught.
that's lack of sleep. That is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. There we go. I got there in the end.
So rumours are that Almas is going to be moving up to the main roster before the next tapings. So I'm hoping this will be a long, lengthy reign before Black drops the title. So.
Okay. As long as Zelina Vega goes with him.
Yeah, it definitely won't work. The two of them won't work without each other, I don't think.
Yeah, it has to be a package deal if they go up, in all honesty. But I think there's some juice in a rematch between them, again. It's very difficult because you've got people in NXT that shouldn't be in NXT anymore.
No.
They should be on the main roster.
There's only so many you can bring up at a time, though, because...
Yeah, it's very difficult to make that decision.
Yeah, remember 2 years ago when he just
should go up. I mean, I've been a big fan of the iconic duo for the longest time.
Yeah,
and I'm super surprised.
Why they haven't been on telly for like 6 months?
they're campaigning to be.
They've just got their boobs.
Superstar of the year.
They've just got their boobs done, so to go up to the main roster.
Oh, I had no idea.
That's right, they can't wrestle because they've just got their boobs on.
Oh, it's a real shame that they've had to do that in order to get an opportunity.
I don't know if they had to do that or they decided to do that, but...
Oh, okay.
But that's
it's normally to get an opportunity, though, isn't it, really? That's a real shame.
They've had some work done, so they couldn't wrestle for 6 months, basically.
So they're not going to be in the Battle Royal to...
Unless they do a surprise. They haven't wrestled since Survivor Series weekend, have they? So.
Oh, wow.
It's been that long. So. They could make it be surprise entrance tonight. They have any named, like half the card. So.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that situation, really. I remember them campaigning to be the Superstars of the Year. But, yeah, I guess we haven't seen them in the longest time, but I didn't know why.
Next up was the unsanctioned match, because I can't remember what the other word they call it.
The non-sanctioned match.
Triple H was calling it something stupid, like the non-harm something.
The non-hold harmless agreement.
What's that mean?
The contract that Johnny Gargano had to sign. Yeah.
Oh, another match I loved. I think it went on a bit long, but I did love this match. I loved how the first half of the match Gargano was just getting battered. There was a weird spot where he took crutches off a fan, but then the security threw the fan out for some reason.
Oh, No, Ciampa took the.
And that's what I meant. I meant Ciampa. Sorry.
Yeah. Ciampa took the crutch off the fan. But the fan's got to go because he ain't got the crutch anymore.
Yeah, but he got the.
So he can't stand up, can they?
He's leaning on the the barrier anyway.
Oh, okay. I might have missed that part.
Then he got led away by security. I was like, can't you just put him back in his seat or something?
Yeah.
Right, so there's just some weird spots. But I really like this match.
It was an outstanding fight, wasn't it, really?
I wasn't sure how you were going to feel about this match because you're more of a technical wrestling fan rather than a fight.
If it's needed, in all honesty, Chris. Do you know what I mean? You look back to the Cruiserweight Classic opening round match between them.
Yeah.
That was a technical wrestling match. You know, hold for hold, one-upsmanship, who's going to win, who's going to be the best. That's the match that needed to happen at that moment. And then if you look at the tag team title reign and the tag team match against the Revival, still, you know, Ciampa strikes Gargano's heart kind of thing. And then, you know, it all leads to last night. And it has to be a fight. And, you know, Gargano standing up for what he believes in to try and get his NXT career reinstated. He's got to fight with everything that he has. And he's proven it for the longest time. But when it's all said and done, Johnny Gargano is going to be the man in WWE.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be anyone that can touch him. I reckon Shawn Michaels' kind of career. I honestly do. I think he's absolutely amazing.
Oh, I love him. Yeah, brilliant.
He's my favourite wrestler in NXT.
I love him, and my two-year-old loves him. He's my two-year-old's favourite.
No one can touch him. when he, like, you get emotionally involved in his matches. When he did the promo before the Andrade Cien Almas fourth title match.
Yeah.
That is one of the best hero promos I've seen for the longest time. When he was saying, I'm Johnny freaking wrestling. I got goosebumps. It was brilliant. This match had to be a fight. He was, you know, fighting for his career. Even in that moment when he refused to hit Ciampa with the crutch.
Yeah.
It's just like... It's just like the best drama in the world, wrestling sometimes. It's just it's an absolute art form when it's done properly.
I was convinced they were going to sit next to each other and hug like they did at the end of the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, the Cruiserweight Classic, yeah. And he was going to do it, and then Ciampa went for him.
Yeah.
He might have done it, and then Ciampa went for him, and then he submitted him with his own knee brace, didn't
he? Yeah, I didn't get why he took the knee brace off. That's like...
Say that again, Chris. Sorry.
I didn't get why he took the knee brace off earlier in the match. Either. Surely that's supporting your knee.
As a weapon.
To use as a weapon, maybe. Yeah,
I would imagine. And even this one, it was like, okay, for the longest time it's been speculated that Gargano will up, so Ciampa might win this match.
Yeah, I was convinced he was going to win, and then we'll see Gargano in a couple of weeks.
And then I was thinking to myself, well, Aleister Black's won the title, so Ciampa's going to win, and the fans are just going to boo him out of the building.
I was the opposite. I thought they were going to boo him, but then we're going to have a thank you Gargano going off the air. Thank you, Johnny.
That's a possibility. But I don't think, obviously, the fans are hugely supportive of Gargano, but that ending to the NXT show wouldn't have got as bad a response as if Reigns and Lesnar finishes the WrestleMania show tonight and Reigns wins the title.
Yeah, I think because they're best.
Because I think people respect Ciampa, and it's unfortunate because they should respect Reigns too. It's just the way he's obviously been booked.
I know we're talking about a completely different show, but
hopefully we see AJ Styles versus Nakamura in the main event.
They started well with the Reigns a couple of weeks ago when the Reigns was coming out and saying Brock's not here. They should have kept Brock off telly for 6 weeks. But then he brought him back and now people were cheering that he was beating up Reigns.
It's a strange one because when Reigns was saying that Lesnar was McMahon's boy,
He was getting cheers.
No, I was kind of thinking, isn't that what you are?
Yeah, we all know. Yeah, we know so, that, but the people are not everybody is into. Like 90% of wrestling fans just watch telly.
That's a bit of a false statement, really. But I'm not a hater of Roman Reigns. I think he's. I know this is digressing and stuff, but I'm not a hater of Roman Reigns. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he excels against interesting opponents. I think the Lesnar match tonight will be as good as the WrestleMania 31 match, the main event.
Yeah.
And if that match and that style of match main events WrestleMania, I don't think people can be up in arms about it. But I still think it should be Styles versus Nakamura. But bringing it back to Gargano versus Ciampa, just fantastic. The lengths that they went to in order to win the match, and just quickly going back to the ladder match from the opening match, the risk and the element of that match was off the charts.
Yeah,
some of the stuff was scary to watch. Fantastic.
I think they have to do a couple of claps to the crowd first match because they all booing Gargano and Ciampa. Fuck you, Ciampa was all out. Yeah, you suck. What else? Arsehole.
Well, it's supposed to be a 18 plus demographic, isn't it? Really, so
you might as well watch my 12-year-old and some of his face.
Oh, unlucky, Chris.
He's like, they really don't like Ciampa, do they?
But they
love Ciampa. But the storyline makes it so we have to hate him. I
don't think they like Ciampa anymore because they loved DIY. They love Johnny Gargano, and even in this storyline, Ciampa's right.
Yeah,
he's right because the fans love Gargano. They love Ciampa by what's it called, by association.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. That's not taking anything away from Ciampa. He's fantastic, and he was fantastic in DIY. The fact that they came to NXT with no contracts, then they became NXT Tag Team Champions, and then the main event in NXT TakeOver as two of the hottest stars in the company is a testament to both men, in all honesty. Two boys they threw it together, and look where they are now. It's incredible, but much like the Roderick Strong kind of storyline, Ciampa has a lot of reasons to not be happy. He gets injured, but the only thing in the same matches, he turns on Gargano, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the fans didn't seem to care that much about that injury, or they didn't care enough. And then they were trying to replace him with somebody else because I think he got injured prior to the match, and then the injury got worse in the match. So they were trying to replace him before he was even in the match, if you remember the storyline going back. So interwove an incredible story into a fantastic fight. And although I always say the title should end the show, and it could have, in all honesty, you could have switched the two matches, and I don't think anyone would have minded. At least not yourself, because obviously being a huge...
I'm really happy this finished. I wanted this to be the last match on.
You wanted it to be the last match? Okay, yeah. Well, you got your wish. Yeah. But yeah, either of those matches could have main evented quite easily. The ladder match could have main evented. And that just goes to show. I mean, what was it, five matches on the show?
Yep.
And three of them could have main evented?
That's three, four, five-star matches, definitely, looks like.
Exactly, and...
So what were your thoughts overall on the show? I know we've discussed it, but as a show as a whole,
is
Vince rewriting the script for tonight? Is Vince rewriting the script for tonight, or does it show that you can have five, six, seven matches on a four-hour show? You don't need 14.
A four-hour show, Chris. WrestleMania's going on for 7 hours, mate.
I don't want it to be on 7.
I think WrestleMania. You know when they say like here, now, and forever. You know when they've said that during like the
wasn't the 14 matches when we previewed it, and there's been three more added, I think.
Oh God! but yeah. You know when they've they said, like, at WrestleMania 20, here, now, and forever, yeah. WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about this one 14 years later. This is the WrestleMania.
The pre-show starts at 9 o'clock our time, and I think it's going to finish at 5 o'clock in the morning. Is it?
9 o'clock is going to start.
Was it 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. It's been said on Twitter, because I saw the tweet moments and stuff, that people would be happy if the NXT TakeOver finished the WrestleMania weekend, which just goes to show you, really, NXT is the brand.
As Vince watched this and rewriting a couple of the matches.
I think the interesting thing was NXT was in possibly a bit of a slump.
Well, 2 years ago, when they just ripped it to bits to bolster the brand split, it went a bit crap for a couple of months. But
and then there's just been like great storyline progression and stuff, and it's been about storyline progression to this show.
I think the writing team deserve an Emmy,
yeah.
for this,
yeah.
Every match was signposted, it layered, it's hooks, it had callback to previous matches.
Vega
costing Almas the finishing sequence of the Gargano Ciampa match, Roderick Strong's turn, Blazer's shoulder pop. Ow! just absolutely amazing. I can't say any more.
Truly incredible show. And in terms of WrestleMania, the talent's there.
If you're gonna have that many matches, and probably four of them want half an hour, it's like 10 matches you have to fit into 2 hours. They're gonna be like 5-10 minutes each.
Well, the one thing that really disappoints me so far about WrestleMania is the Cruiserweight title being on the
I can't believe that. Yeah. I said it from the beginning; it'll be on the preview, but I was only joking.
I'm absolutely gutted about that. In all honesty,
it got bumped because of how popular Rusev is. I think the US title match would have been on the pre-show.
I know, but if you're trying to revolutionise 205 Live, half the crowd are going to see. I don't know, a
10-minute opening match between them two would be amazing. It would get the crowd up.
I said it about Fastlane, didn't I?
Yeah.
If there had been 205 Live across the two brands, and that had been the opening match. I know it was Rusev against Nakamura.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a tremendous match. But I mean, if a cruiserweight match opens a show, that is the best way to open a show.
Especially you've got these two.
Look at any WCW pay-per-view from way back when, the best match on a WCW pay-per-view was probably the cruiserweight title match on the opening of the show. So,
well, if you go back to the 90s, if you just took the mid-card of WCW and WWE's headliners and matched them into a pay-per-view, because the main events of WWE shows were great in the 90s, but the undercard was shite.
imagine a dream match card of WCW and WWE, and possibly even ECW.
Yeah, but the main event of WCW was garbage. The undercard was weird.
I mean, taking those elements that you've just talked about, WCW's undercard, ECW's semi mid card, and WWE's main event.
That would
have been incredible.
Yeah.
but just bring it back to WrestleMania. The talent's there to have one of the best WrestleManias of all time. Styles versus Nakamura has all the elements to be a match of the year candidate. It needs to finish the show for the fans to go home happy, and it's all dependent on if they want to do that, really.
I don't know if we can say anything else more about this show. It's been amazing.
I don't think we can we, really? But in closing, if you watch any show this weekend, make
your
NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
On a side note, we've opened a t-shirt store with Teespring. I've got loads of designs, starting at just $7.99 plus postage and packaging. We've got some of our designs that include logos that say, "It's still real to me, damn it. You're such a jobber."
Because it is.
Future Endeavour in a flaming font, which can, yeah, you're fired, basically. So, yeah, and many, many designs. I plan to put a couple up each week. So, Oliver, do you have a favourite design so far?
I like the Brit Wrestle one.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I like the British Wrestle one.
I'm obviously a huge fan of the Broken But Glorious ones that we produced way back when. Still waiting for my copy, Chris. Get on it. it's quite cool, you know, how this has been a podcast between, you know, you and Nick Davey, who once again is in New Orleans right now, and I'm quite proud to have been added to the show, and what we've got here is a really cool thing. And
he's probably just waking up, really, or maybe having his breakfast. It's 10 o'clock over there. So.
and the fact that he hasn't called in is quite shocking, really, Nick. Get on it, mate.
He's probably expecting us to do this at 10 o'clock at night, like we usually do.
yeah, exactly. But fair play to him. He's been going to shows. By the end of it, I think he's going to be all wrestled out like I was in 2008.
He's only got, three more shows to go, but it's a 7-hour epic tonight and 3 hours tomorrow.
The fact that he went to that, was it Spring Break, Joey Janela, and that went on to 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, started at midnight. So
it's like... And it's like, it's impressive in all honesty. And the fact that he's been drinking and been hungover and stuff, he's
only 23, he can drink and be okay. I have half a can, and I'm hungover for days. So.
And I don't drink at all, so... it's pretty cool. But
all right, so based on this show's results, which 5 matches would you like hoping to see at NXT Chicago? Possibly. Should I do mine first? Or?
Yeah, if you want to go first.
So my matches are based on the rumours that Ember Moon, the Authors of Pain, and Zion Almost are moving up to the main roster before the next tapings. So I've
spoilers,
gone for
Chris, man, jeez.
Well, next tapings haven't started yet. So.
I know, I'm joking.
All right, so my title match would be Aleister Black versus Gargano versus Ciampa.
I've just got the... I don't know, Gargano's going to go up any, really, surely.
They can't reinstate him and then send him up the next week.
I know, it's difficult though, but you've got to strike while the iron's hot, haven't you? And there's no one hotter in professional wrestling right now than Johnny Gargano.
If Gargano's going to go up, he would have lost that match last night.
You reckon?
Yeah.
So there's going to be more Ciampa Gargano, isn't there?
Yeah, that's why I want this to be a triple threat match. Yeah.
But can that be the case if they've just done a feud ending kind of... I suppose when Chris Jericho took on Shawn Michaels, that was a part of the feud, wasn't it? So, maybe.
I'd also have Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style.
I'm going to go Ciampa versus Black. Ciampa. And I think Gargano are getting involved, like the DIY shirt and stuff.
All right, so
if he's still on the roster. If you wanted to do one for one, so you said about the tag title.
I don't know how the titles, but maybe put all the titles on a line. I don't know how it would work. 6-man tag.
No, it's fine. I was going to say, if you want to say one, I'll say one and stuff.
Yeah, so Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style. Cole O'Reilly and Strong versus Dunn, Bates and Seven.
Okay, well, I was going to say it's either Roderick Strong against Pete Dunne or Pete Dunne. When's Chicago? Is it June?
Yeah, in 2 months. It's whenever. Yeah, June. It's opposite.
Money in the bank.
Yeah. So yeah, June. Yeah.
What day in June?
I have no idea.
Okay. No. Because if that corresponds with the UK title tournament thing, then that changes my match. It's either going to be Dunn versus Strong for the UK title.
Yeah.
Or Dunn defending the UK title against the guy who wins it, the title tournament the number one contender tournament at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah,
that'd be my next match.
Dunn did tweet out today, come and get my title or something. So
what's your third match, Chris?
I've gone for Killian Dane versus Lars Sullivan.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Oh, it's the 17th of June, so that's the day before.
Can't be the day before, can it? It's a Friday.
It says here, then, the 17th of June.
So the British one's happening on a Monday and a Tuesday night?
Maybe.
Wow. Okay. Tag titles, Undisputed Era against Mustache Mountain.
Yeah.
Or... one of my favourite teams, this is probably out of left field, TM61.
Yeah, I'm surprised they got knocked out so early in this tournament.
Yeah, especially when they got to the final against AOP. I'm really surprised that they didn't beat
them.
In all honesty, they could have beat them and it wouldn't have affected anything.
No.
They could have just took their spot in all the matches in the tournament leading up to this triple threat match. And it wouldn't have been a bad thing, and you could have called AOP up. I've said countless times in the past they could have attacked Breezango back in, you know, when that happened. Obviously, it was the Bludgeon Brothers and stuff, but that could have been AOP. And obviously, you can call them up, and you could have put TM61 in this position, especially when they're coming back from injury. Shane Thorne, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's kind of been brushed under the carpet. He come back. There was a really good video package, and then they were in this top number one contenders tournament, got knocked out. They've been interviewed and got interrupted because Moon and Baszler are having a fight in the performance centre.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of pushed aside, and they're too talented to be in that position, really. So I'm pulling for those two guys.
It is on a Monday and Tuesday, the British tournament.
Oh, wow.
So this will be on the 16th.
Okay.
My women's title match is Kairi Sane versus Baszler.
So we're going on the assumption that Moon's being called up.
I am, because that's the latest rumor at the moment.
Okay.
Because the draft is either going to be at Backlash or just before Backlash.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm happy with Kairi Sane versus Baszler. I would have loved to have seen. Said like a Tony Storm against Baszler, but she's not under contract, is she? So she was one of the ones that impressed me in the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, I love Tony Storm, my favourite.
The final between Kairi Sane and Baszler was really good, so I'm happy with that choice.
I don't know what to do the next one. It's Velveteen Dream, either in a triple threat match against EC3 or Ricochet, or Velveteen Dream against EC3 or Ricochet. Because I want to get all three on the card, but I don't know how I'm going to get them back.
Okay.
Maybe in a one contenders match between the three of them.
I suppose I'm going to go with Adam Cole, baby. That never gets old. American Championship against...
Fatal four-way.
Gargano, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I forgot you.
If he's still there, obviously. Yeah, that'd be a great match.
So you're not going to have Ricochet EC3.
Last match here, Chris, number 5.
That's my 5.
5? Yep. Tag titles, women's title.
Well, I've got a tag. NXT. Yeah, I've got the 6-man tag.
Oh, a 6-man, yeah.
With
okay.
Could put all the titles on the line.
Oh, Lars Sullivan was your one against Killian Dane, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so one more.
You wanted to make? Yeah, you're waiting for me to tell you what the date of the show was.
I'm sticking with Pete Dunne against Roderick Strong. They'll build it up from there. I've still got one more though. I said Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong, Ciampa versus Black, Kairi Sane versus Baszler.
You've gone for Undisputed Era versus TM61, haven't you?
Or the Mustache Mountain. I've used my fives on that, and then Adam Cole against Gargano. That's my 5.
That'd be cool. Another 2 great cards, I think.
So if Triple H needs a hand booking NXT, he knows where we are, doesn't he, Chris?
Yeah. I can't believe they haven't. Yeah. I want them to put Chris Strong style together. They teased it a couple of months ago, didn't they? But nothing's happened since.
But now he's in a position where he needs somebody.
Yeah.
So
even if Bobby Fish is better by then, they could just throw like a Mark Andrews or Wolfgang or somebody in there as well, or Zach Gibson.
Yeah, Liverpool's number one would be, you know, he'd be great in that position. But even if he isn't, Roderick Strong, Adam Cole, I'm not going to say it again, and Carlo Riley against Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne would be. That's got the ability to be a show stealer, hasn't it?
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Right. Fantastic.
I think we should leave it there because I said I only wanted this to be half an hour long and it's over an hour. Right, so thanks for everyone for listening. If you enjoy our show, check us out on Twitter at BBGWPod. And we'll see you for our review of WrestleMania, where we'll be joined by the IndyCard Mafia, Eric Eminon and Thomas Buington, which will be a lot of fun. So I think we've got decent replacement for Nick there. So.
You're irreplaceable, Nick.
So irreplaceable, we had to get two of the most talkative people we've ever interviewed on just to replace Nick. So,
yeah.
I can see this being about 4 hours long.
Well, about the same amount of time as WrestleMania, isn't it, really?
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. I really enjoyed interviewing both of these guys, so should be fun. So.
Yeah, they were quality interviews, and like you said earlier in the show, Sugar Dunkerton, he was a fantastic interview as well. So happy to see him get an opportunity with hopefully getting an opportunity with Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, well he's back over here for to do a tour in, I want to say, July maybe.
Okay, cool.
Because he's doing my local show in July.
Alright, wicked.
So it'd be great to meet him again. So.
Yeah, like I said, really enjoyed his interview. Top man.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get him on again in May, maybe. So.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I said I'll get him on in March, but I've been busy.
Haven't we all?
But anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Wednesday morning for our
WrestleMania review.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.